Kyle Banagura, you've been covering the biggest star in American sports in 2023. Of course, I'm talking about Deion Sanders. And while other coaches avoid those so-called distractions, Prime has Lil Wayne leading the team out of the tunnel, Kyle. I mean, he is doing things his way at Colorado. And so far, you got to say it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no arguing with 3-0. You start the year with a win over a team that played for the national title game and have really just ran with it ever since, right? This is a team that has not only captured Boulder's attention, the campus community's attention, this is a team that has captured the United States' attention. From the moment he was hired, he really outlined a plan that was very different from the way most college football programs operated. And he's stuck to it at every step of the way. He turned over the roster. He invited the cameras in. He was very open with the media. And along the way, the American sports consciousness, caught on. And now you have masses of people watching Colorado football. And that's something that hasn't been the case in, over two decades. We haven't seen anything like this ever in college football, I don't think. The fact that Deion Sanders has rejuvenated Colorado Buffaloes to be the it team in college football is almost unbelievable.
That's what everybody I talk to in college football keeps saying. We haven't seen anything like this.
The biggest star in American sports today is Deion Sanders. What he is doing at Colorado is practically unprecedented.
I've covered college football for more than 40 years, and this is the biggest phenomenon I have ever seen. And there's nothing even close.
His value to that football team is immense, but what's really shocking is his value to that institution. It is the identity of all of Colorado. You want a prime education? Come to Colorado. You want a prime friends? Come to Colorado. Right. Everything is prime there, so I don't know exactly how much they're paying him, but it ain't enough.
What are the specific ways that he's doing things differently?
I mean, there's a lot that's really unique, and I think that's what makes this so interesting. At most college football programs, coaches are very focused on limiting distractions and keeping players focused. And, we've seen coaches in the past try to limit social media use and things like that. At Colorado, not only are they empowering their players to use social media however they want, but they have their handles on the back of their jerseys in practice. There are multiple players with YouTube channels. There are cameras in every room in that facility documenting everything that's going on. So where Deion talks a lot about how Deion Jr. has been doing a fantastic job running their social media operation. And it's crazy from a reporting standpoint because usually you rely on press conferences for quotes when you're covering college football. I'm at a point now where I'm having to check Well-Off Media, the YouTube page that Deion Sanders Jr. runs, to see what's going on inside this program because they provide so much access. And I've been able to use some of that stuff in stories to help, readers understand better what's going on. Some teams try to install this very mysterious and secretive atmosphere about a college football program. That's not the case here at all. Deion has opened the doors in a way that we've never really seen before.
Kyle, Deion Sanders, when he was playing football, very entertaining, very charismatic. He has retained those qualities. Now, he has stopped playing, but he's got this next level ability to connect with this generation of players. Just how has he been able to develop this skill and really bond with players who are decades younger than him?
Yeah, so I think there's a certain level of confidence, number one, that comes from being one of the greatest athletes of all time. So he's so comfortable in his own shoes. And there's really not a situation where, Deion's not going to be Deion. And the fact that he can really own his own personality, I think is really important and a big key to that. He's been coaching his sons since they were little kids, right? And so he's really, he had none of these kids are old enough to have seen him play. But he basically coached this generation of player all the way up from youth football into college, right? So it gives him a really unique insight into the psyche of this generation of player. You know, not necessarily the college age player, because he's only been coaching college football for 4 years, but he's really grown up with this generation as his sons have matured, coming up through youth football and high school all the way to Boulder, Colorado. And not only has he had buy-in from the players on the team, but the entire country has taken notice. The entire town of Boulder has bought in. I had a chance to visit Boulder the last 2 weekends, and I've been there before during college football season, and it is nothing like what it is now. I mean, there is signs all over town, and really the community has fully embraced everything he's doing.
For the Colorado Buffaloes, every game on the schedule is now a prime time game. It doesn't matter what time of day or night the game is being played. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. Colorado games are breaking viewership records, snatching up eyeballs, and delivering quality entertainment. The uptick in interest is thanks in large part to Coach Prime. Head coach Deion Sanders, who's become the biggest star in college football and possibly in American sports. His Buffs are off to a 3-0 start, and this week they'll face their biggest challenge yet in the undefeated Oregon Ducks. So today, Kyle Banagura shares his experiences in Boulder this season, and he tells us how the Deion Sanders phenomenon has not only revitalized the local community, but captured the attention of the nation. I'm Michelle Steele. It's Friday, September 22nd. This is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Kyle, like the rest of the country, I was watching ESPN on Saturday night. Shout out my employer. But thanks to an ill-timed Tennessee timeout, there was a scuffle at the end of the Vols-Gators game. A lot of us did miss the pregame in Boulder. And everybody knows by now, The Rock was there, Kawhi Leonard was there, Rick Ross, Wu-Tang Clan in the house. Just describe the energy that you witnessed at Folsom Field before that kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime game day's in town, it's really going to set the atmosphere from the very start of the day.
A Ralphie rampage as the Buffalo September Stampede showing no signs of being corralled. Go Buffs! Hottest program in college football. They've got a tournament.
What's unique about this one is this is an 8 p.m. kickoff local time, and those are rare in college football. And so it gives the plans plenty of time to kind of get ready for the game. And so, you know, I had a chance to walk around the field prior to the game, and you know, the sidelines are packed. Whenever you're at Colorado, you're waiting for Ralphie the Buffalo to run close to kickoff as the players were warming up. He had some back and forth, some jawing between Colorado and Colorado State. You know, a little bit of a scuffle. It didn't really get physical, but a lot of talking. They got, you know, even coaches were getting it up in each other's faces from both teams. And the atmosphere was tense. And I think, you know, it's a rivalry game to begin with in Colorado. And then you add all the off-the-field festivities that kind of led up to it between the coaches. It really added another element to it. But what really struck me before the game was that, you know, Deion kind of does a he has this ritual where he kind of walks the field and he walks on the sideline towards the student section. The students had gotten there early. It's general admission, so they're trying to claim the best spots available. And as he starts walking close to the student section, the whole section in front of him just starts bowing to him. Up, down, and then he kept walking, just taking it all in. He keeps walking down the sideline, and as he moves closer to the end zone, with each section of the students that he was in front of, you know, that section started the bowing towards him. So it was like the wave was taking place, except for in slow motion, and it was kind of going at the speed in which he was walking. So, I mean, you have Deion Sanders being treated like an actual god by a bunch of kids in Colorado who are too young to have seen him play as a star professional athlete. And
of course.
Just like the uniqueness of that situation was just so remarkable. You know, I've been covering college football at ESPN for 10 years now, and I have never seen anything like it. And most of my colleagues are saying the same thing. Mm. This gravitational pull that he has is just unlike anything we've ever seen.
Very magnetic, very charismatic. But there was still a game to play, right? And Colorado State was not there to be run over. There was a bunch of chippiness, a lot of flags. Around 2 minutes left to go in the game, Coach Prime and the Buffs were down 8, starting a drive at their own 2-yard line. And 7 plays later, Deion's son Shador finds Jimmy Horn Jr. with 36 seconds left for a touchdown.
Sanders. Downfield. Got him in! Horn! Atonement! Touchdown!
Colorado converts the 2-point conversion to tie it, and we're headed to OT. From there, Kyle, how did things unfold?
First of all, you know, in college overtime, the way it usually works is if you win the coin toss, you choose to play defense.
Right.
The idea there is, you know, you'll see what the other team does, and then all the options are in front of you. Deion went the other way. He said he wanted the ball. I've never seen that before in a college football overtime. Later, he'd explain that, look, I wanted to put the ball in Shador's hand and put pressure on Colorado State.
What was funny was his brother came to me in overtime, and he rarely ever calls me dad on the field. He know I don't play that. He's like, Dad, you putting the defense out there first? I said, y'all ain't stopped nobody all day. Your brother going out there, and I know what he going to do. That really happened because I like to put pressure on people. I don't like people putting the pressure on us. I know he's going to apply instant pressure, and he did.
Sure enough, Shador marches the team right down the field. They score a quick touchdown. Colorado State answers, though, right? They're able to respond with a touchdown of their own. And in the second overtime, he goes down the field, scores another touchdown.
Sanders open. There he is again. Touchdown, Harrison.
The way the rules work in college football now is in the second overtime, you don't have the option to go for 2 or 1. So they had to go for 2, and they did, and they got it. And then just, you know, finally Colorado State ran out of steam and wasn't able to answer.
From the 23, Nicolosi steps up into the end zone, in a crowd, no good! Picked off by Woods, and it's over! Buffaloes win it! Do you believe?
Students are on the field celebrating for the second week in a row.
Yeah, to all those shaking their fist at the clouds and saying, why are they storming the field? I say, because it's fun. Speaking of things that are not fun, though, there was one very significant illegal hit on two-way player Travis Hunter in that game. Colorado State DB Henry Blackburn ended up getting doxed on social media. He received death threats. There were menacing calls, menacing texts, even to his family members. Local police were compelled to look into that situation. What's the latest there?
As far as the police investigations go, I think that's still ongoing, and they're trying to identify the people who levied those threats and gauge the validity of them, right? But I think that Deion took a really important step on Tuesday when he, in his press conference, made it clear that he was against that type of behavior.
Henry Blackburn is a good player who played a phenomenal game. He made a tremendous hit on Travis on the sideline. You could call it dirty. You could call it he was just playing the game of football. But whatever it was, it does not constitute that he should be receiving death threats. That kid was just playing the best of his ability, and he made a mistake. So I forgive him. See you. Our team forgive him. Travis is, he's forgiven him. Let's move on. But that kid does not deserve that.
And so hopefully that type of behavior can be curbed moving forward. And we just don't see that. Unfortunately, that's kind of just the world we live in.
All right. We've talked about things nationally. Over 9 million people watching this game. He really is a one-man phenomenon in college football. But what about within the local community, the students, the town of Boulder? How has this whole Coach Prime experience changed things on that level? I feel like it must have changed things on every level for this Colorado program and the local community.
Yeah, so I was really curious about that. And so for the home opener, and I had a chance to kind of do some research about where to spend the morning, right? It was a 10 a.m. local kickoff. I was in town and I made my way over to a bar and restaurant called The Sink, which is celebrating its 100th year in Boulder. It's this legendary outpost really close to campus. Got there at about 6:30 a.m. The sun's is just coming up. There's a line of about 100 people around the corner. The bar opens at 7 a.m. It's so crowded that they have to stop letting people in after about 20 minutes. And by the time I got inside and started talking with fans just about what the experience has been like, there is trays of shots being taken around. There's people eating pizza. It really felt like it could have been the middle of the afternoon. But here we are at 7 in the morning waiting for the Deion Sanders era to begin in earnest in Boulder. Elsewhere in town, you're seeing Prime gear everywhere. You're seeing different stores giving 21% discounts on merchandise because that was Deion's number in the NFL. Just about every way you can imagine there to be buy-in, there has been. And it's really cool to see because Boulder's a really special college town and it has a chance to be one of the best locations for opposing teams to visit to really experience college football at its best. And Deion Sanders has been able to get that revved up really quickly. The bar owner at The Sink who I talked to said, you know, we haven't seen this type of energy in 25 years. And he's referring to back when just after the national title team in the early 90s. Mm. And now with everything that Deion's doing, it's you know, you're getting visitors from all sorts of media. It's, you know, we're there, you know, ESPN is sending multiple reporters almost every week, you know, television, print reporters, you know, just about everyone you can think of is trying to justify a trip to the Flatirons to get into Deion's orbit for a little bit and just experience this whole phenomenon.
All right, coming up, the Deion Sanders phenomenon faces its toughest challenge yet on Saturday.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Kyle. So let's look ahead. This week, the Buffaloes travel to Oregon to square off against the 3-0 Ducks, a very good Ducks team. Oregon, heavy favorite in this game. What's the energy been around the Colorado team heading into this game?
Yeah, so what Shiloh said at the end of the Colorado State game, he said, look, we have the talent to beat anyone in the country.
It wasn't really nothing they was doing. It was just us, you know? Like, that's just how it's going to be this whole season. We have the talent to be the best in this conference in the country. But we can only do it to ourselves.
It was a clear statement of intent that, look, they don't fear anyone. They respect other teams in the conference, but there's no one who they think they're inferior to. You know, after struggling with Colorado State, a team that had gotten blown out by Washington State in its only other game, you know, I think there's some real questions about Colorado's level. They're 3-0, but there's something like 33-0 teams in college football, right? We've seen a number of teams start 3-0 and fade. And so while as intriguing as this start is, you know, I think we're really going to find out about this team the next 2 weeks. You have a trip to Oregon, which has got its own college football playoff aspirations. And then it's not too early to look forward to the next week too, right? When USC and Caleb Williams and that whole crew comes to town I imagine the sideline scene there is going to be almost more incredible than what we're going to see on the field.
Yeah, they're going to have to put out a red carpet before that game for sure. Clearly, there has been a ton of hype, a ton of hoopla around this team, but the non-conference play ends now. What do you think will be the biggest obstacles in the way of Colorado getting to 4-0? We already mentioned Travis Hunter is going to be out for this game.
Yeah, that's where you start, right? It's losing two players. He starts both ways. Deion called him the best player on offense, the best player on defense. So you essentially lost your two best players in his mind, right? But from an on-field standpoint with Colorado, they really haven't done a good job running the ball, and they have done a pretty poor job of protecting Shador Sanders. He has the second most sacks of any quarterback in college football. I imagine the Ducks are going to be keying in on that. Defensively, they've had some moments. They've done a really good job being opportunistic, forcing turnovers. But the Ducks aren't a team that turn the ball over. Bo Nix is one of the most reliable quarterbacks in the country when it comes to not turning the ball over, right? And he's also not a guy who gets sacked. So it doesn't really set up like a game that Colorado should be favored in. The 21 points for me does seem high, but at the same time, we did see Colorado head into the TCU game just a few weeks ago, also as a 3-touchdown dog, and we saw what happened there. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly expect Oregon to win this game, but you certainly can't write off Colorado at this point. There's just something magical about what's going on there, and to believe it's going to end with anything other than an exciting game in Eugene would be a little bit foolish and definitely premature.
That leads to my next question, actually. You've been to Boulder twice. You've seen the energy. You just referenced the magic there. Do you think an L to Oregon kind of puts a stop to all this? You know, does it hit the brakes on everything, or has all this taken on a life of its own a little bit?
So I don't think so, because even if you lose to Oregon, you still have a massive game coming up the next week against USC, right? So you could really, if you bounce back with the win against USC, okay, it's let's go again, and they're right back in it in the Pac-12 title race. I mean, the Pac-12 has 8 ranked teams right now. It's the most of any conference in college football. So as long as you're in the
mix, a great conference.
It's so surreal that this is what's happening in the conference's final year. If Deion Sanders and the Buffs are the team that wins this in its final year, I mean, what a story that would be on so many levels. But if you look at Colorado's schedule, you know, even if they're sitting at 3-2 after the Oregon and USC games, they've got Arizona State and Stanford after that. That pretty much gets them to 5-2 without much trouble. And then at 5-2, you're right there. You still have a chance to be in the rankings at that point. You're still going to be relevant deep into the season. And maybe they're not, you know, even if they don't last in the conference title race, I mean, I think everything that Deion's doing there is going to keep them nationally relevant. And it's still year one, right? I do feel really confident that he's in Boulder for at least 2 years. As long as I think he'll certainly ride out Travis Hunter's career in Boulder, and then we'll see what happens, right? I think Colorado will keep this going, and if he's not at Colorado, you know, in a few years, I certainly think he'll be running one of the biggest programs in college football.
All right, Kyle Bonagura, thank you for being on this story for us.
Thanks, Michelle.
I'm Michelle Steele. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Bradford Craig, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Heather Lombardo, Ryan Nantel, Mike Philbrick, Andres Soto, Andy Tennant, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Andrew Hahn, Deontay Epps, Parker Owens, Bruce Baldwin, and Jackson Agello. We'll talk to you Monday.